Tim McGrath told the news he wears his Yukon shirt, bought from North of Ordinary in Whitehorse, with pride. The 70-year-old from Nanaimo, BC, has made two trips to the Yukon since 2023. The impetus for that trip was the 125th anniversary of the Gold Rush, said McGrath, referring to his first trip to the Yukon. And then we loved it so much we went back a second time. McGrath and his wife have visited all over the Yukon, from Whitehorse to Dawson, Carcross to Haines Junction. One is the physical beauty, but it's also the people. We found that people in the Yukon were extremely friendly, said McGrath. We loved your camping sites, your provincial campsites with unlimited firewood. McGrath is just one of the many tourists who have been flocking to the Yukon in recent years. Yukon tourism has been faring well, reaching heights not even hit in the era before COVID spilled onto the scene. According to the Yukon Government Tourism Dashboard, in 2024, $575 million of gross business revenue in the Yukon was thanks to tourism. Just over 225,000 passengers landed on the tarmac at Erik Nielsen. In 2019, the number was 206,177, which itself was a peak, almost double the number of arrivals in 2009. Courtesy of Yukon Tourism Dashboard. But the picture is not all rosy. Consumer confidence, a measure of economic optimism, is down 17.4% from last year, per the Yukon Tourism Dashboard. At the same time, Canadians and other nationals participating in travel boycotts to the United States. Lower, 48 U.S. license plates are beginning to populate the spots at Superstore and Walmart, and the summer tourism season is weeks away. But Canada, like the rest of the world, is staring down the barrel of a turbulent relationship with the United States and uncertain times ahead. What will the summer months hold for the tourism industry in the Yukon? Eduardo Laforgue is the Yukon's director of tourism. In a boardroom on the second floor of the Yukon Visitor Information Center in downtown Whitehorse, Laforgue told the news that the Yukon tourism industry is looking good right now, but they're keeping a close eye as the summer nears. Reservations are up, said Laforgue. Spending from travelers coming from other parts of Canada is up 13.6% as of January and February of this year, and 103.6% from the same time period of 2019, according to the Tourism Department. The $575 million in 2024 attributable to tourism smashed goals for the department, as well, said Laforgue. The department was hoping to hit $525 million by 2028. Courtesy of Yukon Tourism Dashboard. The department has started a new marketing campaign, targeting the prairies, on top of what Laforgue calls the main traditional Canadian markets, Ontario, BC, Alberta and Quebec. They're also reinforcing Australian and Taiwanese markets, especially as Taiwan appears to be becoming a large market for the Yukon. The Yukon is a little bit metal campaign, a tongue-in-cheek campaign meant to spotlight what the Yukon winter has to offer. Flashed on LED screen at Scotia Plaza in Toronto every 30 seconds this past March, said Laforgue. The reservations began to tick upwards after the first hour, he said. So far, the Yukon has seen increasing tourism in the shoulder seasons as well, said Laforgue. Spending from the overseas market, Laforgue thanked the UK in particular, is up 84.6% for the shoulder season, he said. Ricky Mwanganidze, the executive director of the Klondike Visitors Association in Dawson City, said it is important to maintain the relationship with the American tourists that the city relies on. Mwanganidze said Americans usually include Dawson in their trips to Alaska. As of right now, Mwanganidze said the association is waiting to see what the effects of current trade tensions would be, but Americans make up a great portion of the Dawson tourism market. What we want for American visitors is to enjoy the authentic experience that's possible in Dawson, Mwanganidze told the news. And part of that is, you know, how do we assist local residents? How do we assist our staffing teams to be in a position to provide that level of service and quality that creates a unique visitor experience in spite of the geopolitical tensions, said Mwanganidze. Mwanganidze added that any tolls placed on the Alaska Highway for commercial tourism traveling up through BC would have certain impacts on Dawson. Ben Ryan, the chair of the Tourism Industry Association of the Yukon, and chief commercial officer of Air North, said it's crucial that governments and industry players ensure that Americans know that they're welcome here. One of the big trends now is that American tourists who booked with Canadian tour operators are emailing or reaching out asking, you know, am I going to be welcomed? Are there going to be negative experiences due to what's going on between our two countries? Ryan said the U.S. is a large part of the tourism market in the Yukon and Canada. It's one thing if Canadians are not going to the States, but it's another thing if Americans stop traveling to Canada. So one of the major themes is trying to minimize damage to the U.S. market coming to Canada, said Ryan. Of the border crossings into the Yukon that happened in 2024, 72.5% were American in origin, according to the Yukon Tourism Dashboard. LaForgue of the Yukon Department of Tourism said Yukon residents' return trips to Alaska decreased 52% in January and February compared to this time last year, whereas Americans crossing into the Yukon rose 33.5% in the same time frame. Consumer confidence in Canada hit a historic low in March, and we have hit a historic high on the other way. Probably they're missing us, said LaForgue, referring to Alaskans. He speculated that the Canadian dollar may be very attractive. Consumer confidence, according to the Yukon Tourism Dashboard, is an index of people's optimism in the economy, their personal finances, short-term job prospects, and big purchases. Per the dashboard, when confidence is low, people may travel less or avoid expensive trips, tending to travel within their own country instead of taking big trips. In April 2020, consumer confidence was 48. In March 2025, consumer confidence was 44. That said, LaForgue acknowledged the situation is still fluid. He said the department is not basking in the sun, despite the good results, and has plans in place that would be triggered should indicators start changing. Ryan said there is still an opportunity to target people outside the U.S. who may be boycotting travel to the U.S. as well. There's growing evidence that some countries are sort of philosophically opposed to traveling to the U.S. right now, said Ryan. If you study just the volume of business that typically does go to the U.S., it's quite huge. So there is potential that little pockets within Canada actually see growth from international markets. And the Yukon is probably well positioned to capture some of that, Ryan said, referencing the Yukon's ties to markets in German-speaking Europe, the United Kingdom, France and Australia. Adam Gerl sits on the Tourism Industry Association of the Yukon's Board of Directors. He also runs Maverick Marketing, and is the vice chair of the Yukon Convention Bureau. He said some Europeans are afraid to go to the United States, and that the Yukon should take advantage of that. However, there is a fine balance to be struck. Carolyn Moore, a spokesperson for the Yukon Tourism Department, said you do not want to bring in tourists that you cannot provide a good experience for. There's a relationship between marketing and destination development, where you want to market tourists to come, and then you have to have things for people to do when they come, and have places for them to be, she said. The worst that we can do is create frustration. You bring people that we cannot service, that we cannot bring the right accommodation, that we are over capacity, LaForgue said. Ryan, of the Tourism Industry Association, said there's a tremendous wave of investment in the sector right now, and investment in the Yukon broadly. He listed Air North's investment in bringing larger aircraft online by purchasing two Boeing 737-800s, NVD's 115-room Hyatt Hotel set to open in downtown Whitehorse this summer, and the recent multi-million-dollar federal investment into a new convention center in Whitehorse. So it's hard not to have a level of confidence and belief in our resilience when you have that type of investment taking place, said Ryan. Gerl said that he understands people feel cautious about the $75 million combined federal and territorial investment in the convention center, especially with other issues in the territory existing, like housing and healthcare. However, he said that the economic effect of conferences is a magic bullet. It fills up planes, hotels, restaurants, shops, people do breakout trips to the communities. So there is an economic impact, he said. Gerald said the convention center will also be an asset for the community by hosting events for Whitehorse residents. He suggests the convention center will pay for itself, as long as it is not sitting empty for half of the year. However, getting people into that shiny new convention center and at the breakfast bar in the yet-to-open Hyatt is a different question. Traveling Canada by air has tended to be quite expensive and inaccessible for many Canadians, according to Ryan of TIAY and Air North. Canadians historically have tended to flock south of the border or international, and a lot of that has to do with straight up, you know, air access, said Ryan. But I think the Yukon has every reason to pride itself on having, you know, good, reliable, strong air access. Gerald said air access is vital for the Yukon tourism market. He said investing to enable Erik Nielsen Airport to accept international flights, direct from Europe or Asia, could go a long way addressing issues of air access. Just having people in Europe, knowing you could fly to the Yukon direct from Germany, was a huge marketing tool right there, said Gerald. So just having that exist, sells. Kristen Johnson, a spokesperson from the Yukon Department of Highways and Public Works, said that the new airport upgrades will increase the airport's ability to accommodate a wider variety of aircraft, including larger international planes. However, there are other considerations beyond the runway itself. Those considerations include the terminal infrastructure, security screening, Canada Border Service Agency requirements, as well as fire protection standards, she said. We're working closely with the Department of Tourism and Culture to assess potential demand and determine what additional upgrades or resources may be needed to support future international flights, said Johnson in an email to the news on April 15. Carolyn Moore said arrivals and spending from German-speaking tourists increased 22% in 2024 compared to 2023, partially thanks to the interline agreements between Condor, Air North, WestJet and Air Canada. As for Tim McGrath, in Nanaimo, he said that he'd recommend a visit the territory to his friends. For somebody who lives in a city most of the time, said McGrath. It's just absolutely so refreshing to see how beautiful it is. And since then, McGrath has convinced his local liquor store to stock Yukon Brewing beer, which he first tried on his trip north. So, you know, we're getting your beer, he said. BC is known for their craft beer, so for Yukon Brewing to be able to, you know, be able to buy it here, it's amazing.